You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our pastor, the Reverend Charles D. Twyman. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Listening to Brother Lake on the drums, I thought I had to go get him for a minute. He hit everything back there. Amen.
Yeah.
Sound like he was hitting the glass, hitting the wall. I heard cowbells. Amen. He was hitting everything. Amen. 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 The band was playing so tough. I started to come out here and start a soul train line. You know, just and I saw your heads a bobbing. Yeah, got your shoulders a swaying, you know. Y'all forgot y'all was in church for a minute, didn't you? Amen, amen. I said the band cooking today, amen. Amen. God bless this choir. I thank God for this choir and this great host of musicians that we have with us. Amen. God has been good to us. I am so, so grateful unto the Lord. I know that we have to hurry. We have communion. Today we want to recite the church covenant, and we have so much to do and taking in new members as well. So we want to do all of that. But first, we want to bring you a word from the Lord.
Bring the word.
Those who have a Bible or you look to the screens, look at John chapter 16 and verse 33. And you would do well to read the 16th chapter in its entirety, that you might get the literary understanding of the Word of God. But we just want to pull one verse, and that's verse 33 of chapter 16. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Our message is entitled, "Be of Good Cheer." Be of good cheer. I'm hoping that those words, those four words, will be a blessing to you for the entire year of 2018. I don't know what God has in store for any of us, but in all of your calamities, in all of your sorrows and distresses, please be of good cheer. No matter what you go through, no matter how difficult the day may seem, it is important that we as Christians be of good cheer. God wants us to be cheerful givers. He wants to have us to be a cheerful people. Amen. It makes no sense for us to go around like the dog just died. Even if the dog did die, you ought to be cheerful. Amen. And when you get to smiling and people wonder what makes you smile, tell them, Jesus. I know something you may not know. I know someone you may not know. It's Jesus. I don't know what this year will bring, and I'm seeing that it's a new year, but some of the same old problems. And I don't think the devil even realized that it's a new year. He's still up to his things. But there is a reoccurring theme that we find throughout Scripture, and it is the just shall live by faith. I found it in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4. "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." And over in the New Testament, I found in the book of Romans 1:17, it said, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And even in the epistle of Hebrews, I found in the 10th chapter, verse 38, Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul have no pleasure in him. Brothers and sisters, all Christians are considered by definition to be just. For we have been justified. And the real meaning of justified, plainly put, is it's just as if I'd never sinned. Now you have sinned, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the process in which sinful human beings are made acceptable by a holy God in the fact that we are justified by Jesus Christ. Justification is God's declaration that the demands of his law have been fulfilled in the righteousness of his only begotten Son. Yes, the basis for this justification is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. As a matter of fact, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. The whole idea is covered in Hebrews 10:14, for it says, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Justification, then, is based upon the work of Christ, accomplished through his blood, his suffering at Calvary, and brought to his people through his resurrection. This is the gospel, brothers and sisters. Jesus died for us, was buried, and rose. When God justifies, he charges the sin of man to Christ and credits the righteousness of Christ to the believer. So you have been justified by Christ, who has made him to be sin. This is what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, 21, for he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I am justified. And since I am justified, I must live my life by faith. I live by faith. I trust God, not just for this moment, but for every second, every minute, every hour, every day, every week, every month. I must trust God and live by my faith. This includes everything that I do. I must remember, without a shadow of a doubt, that I'm living this life by faith. So my faith, I cannot be just an act. It can't be something I just put on. It's nothing I can take off like this robe or like this shirt. My faith cannot be some meaningless action or a mere appearance of Christianity. My faith just don't show up on Sunday. My faith must carry me all through the week. My church faith must match up with my home faith. Wherever I am, if I'm driving my car, my faith is with me. My faith grows as I read God's word, and I'm growing from glory to glory. Yes, yes, I found out that the more word in me, the less world in me. So my faith is growing. Yes, 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 yes. My faith cannot just show up whenever I want it to in certain situations. My faith cannot depend upon the weather. Or upon the climate of my social injustices, the calamities or situations, even my failures or my sorrows does not dictate my faith. My faith is not determined by the world around me, about this sinful society around me, the social injustice of racism, wickedness, moral decline, crime rate, or the lack of poor leadership in our government. None of that has nothing to do with my faith. In this gloomy and bleak forecast and outlook of what I'm seeing in this year, what I seen last year, I am determined to be of good cheer, brothers and sisters. Because I know above everything and above it all, I'm not in control, but God is. I don't care who's in the White House, because my God is still upon the throne. I must live by faith. My faith in God. I must walk by faith, not by sight. But enough about my faith. How about yours? How's your faith doing? I'm going to let y'all ponder over that for a minute. How's your faith doing? Can you lay down your faith and pick it up when you want to? Can you take it off like you take your coat off and put it on? When somebody cuss at you, can you just take off your faith? Cuss him back and then come to church and put it back on? And do you have a zipper on your faith? Is it a pullover like a sweater? Are you wearing your faith? Or is your faith within you? Are you trusting in God with your faith? Do you just bring it in here on Sunday, or does it go with you all the time? How's your faith doing? How is your faith? I'm determined, come hell or high water, to trust in the Lord. Jesus realized that his hour was near. He knew the forecast was cloudy. He knew that he would have to go to a rugged cross, be nailed there, and have a crown of thorns put upon his head to suffer, to bleed and die. He knew that the cat of nine tails was waiting on him to whip him, scourge him till he didn't even look like a man. And yet he also knew that these disciples who had been following him around, one had already betrayed him. And the other 11, he knew of the circumstances that they must face. He knew that time would come from them because he said, I'm going away from you. And now they have left the upper room and they're on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. And all of this conversation and discourse transpires that we say what he's telling them. He's never told them about the comforter that must come, the Holy Ghost. While he's gone, he must send the Holy Ghost to them, and the Holy Ghost would be their helper, and he would teach them all things that he had said to them. It will remind him, and he said he would be your comforter. And another thing, I'm giving you my name. When I taught you to pray before, I never taught you like this, but I'm giving you my name now. I won't be with you, but anything you ask in my name, the Lord will give it you. I'm going from you, but I won't be far from you. I'll still be looking out for you because where I'm going, you can't come yet. Peter wanted to come with him right away. He said, no, you can't come yet, Peter. But you've got to go through something. And God knew what he would go through. And when I say God, I mean the Lord God Jesus, for he is God all by himself. He's God clothed in flesh. Now, many people will tell you that's not true, but it is. It's what the Bible says. That Jesus Christ was clothed in flesh. He was God in the flesh. Come to the time where he had been speaking to them in parables and proverbs, and now he speaks plainly to them that he has come from God, and that he's going back to God. He's going to leave the world and go back to the Father. And his disciples said unto him, now speakest thou plainly to us. No longer are you speaking in proverbs to us, and we hear you now, and now we believe that you come from God. And Jesus said, yes. Do ye now believe? Brothers and sisters, you believe, how many people come to church still don't believe in God? Amen, amen. And I don't know why. What makes you a Christian. Some people think if they sin less, that makes them sinless. Not the same word, not the same thing. Just because you sin less than you used to sin don't make you a Christian. One of the factors is that you done got older now. You got a little smarter now. As a matter of fact, you can't do the stuff you used to do. As a matter of fact, when you think about it, you get tired. Amen. Here's what I'm talking about. Remember how you used to hang out and stay till 2, 3 o'clock in the morning? You can't do that no more. Amen. If you're having a birthday, you can't do that no more. 11 o'clock will find you drowsy and drowsy. Amen. Amen. They used to say that, well, you ain't got to leave the party, but you got to leave here. You got to get out of here. We don't even go to the party no more. Amen. I had to wake Sister Twyman up watch night to wish her Happy New Year. Then we both went back to sleep. Amen. God does not intend for us to just sin less. He wants us to be sinless by putting all in Jesus Christ. This is what it says in the Bible. Be ye holy, for I am holy. You can be justified just as if I'd never sinned in Christ Jesus. Amen. Jesus is trying to prepare his disciples for what must come their way. He tells them that you shall be scattered, every man to his own. They're going to leave me alone at my hour, but don't worry, because I'm never alone, for the Father is with me. Brothers and sisters, in this year, there will be some times as though you can't seem to see that God is there, but he's always there. He never sleeps nor slumber. He's always there. He's willing to hear your cry and hear your call. Jesus had not yet gone to the cross, had not been whipped by cruel men. They had not yet spit upon him or nailed his hands and feet to a cross. But here in our text, he said, I have overcome the world. He knew the moment that Judas Iscariot had left his presence, that Satan had entered into Judas, and that he knew that his hour was coming, and nothing could stop the clock, for he knew exactly what would take place. And yet he said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. The world can give you peace. Only God can give you peace. Peace. I thank God. And then you get it threefold when you become a Christian. You get the peace from God. You get peace with God. And you get the peace of God. Amen. When you have peace, when you have that peace, you can have peace. The world around you can be going crazy, but you'll still have that peace that surpasses all understanding. That's what I love about peace. It don't even make sense. But you can have peace. You can sit there in the midst of your sorrow and pat your foot and say, it's going to be all right, and I have this peace. I don't have to understand it. I just know that God is still in control. I shall be of good cheer. Good cheer. No matter what I'm going through, I'll be of good cheer, because I know something. And I know that my Christ has already overcome the world. And by him overcoming the world, that makes me an overcomer. Amen. And this is what Jesus wanted his disciples to know, that they would have peace from him in the midst of trials, and in the midst of their afflictions, in the midst of their chastisement from God, and from the general trial that they must go through, they would still be able to have peace. So he tells them, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer, brothers and sisters, no matter what. Be of good cheer. God loves cheerful givers. God loves a cheerful church. God loves cheerful children. Be of good cheer. Smile when you feel like frowning. Even laugh when you feel like crying. Don't let the devil see you sweat. Fool him by smiling in the midst of your troubles, in the midst of your trials. Amen. Because Christ has overcome the devil. Overcome the world system, which the devil is in charge of. Amen. You see, God has the power to defeat all of your spiritual foes. No trial, no temptation will take you, for Christ makes the claim here. He has vanquished the enemy. Satan is humbled by the Lord's presence. And we put our trust in the captain of our salvation. And we walk by faith and not by sight. You need to walk with your head high like you have the victory, because you really do if you believe. Be of good cheer. The world around us, and especially the millennials now, it is said that for the most part, they don't believe there's an afterlife. I read that the other day, that they don't believe there is a heaven or a hell. And that's why many of them are not afraid of anything. They're not afraid to die. They're not afraid. They do some bold things because they just don't care. They just don't fear. I want you to always fear God. Fear the wrath of God. They're not afraid to die. Amen. They have no faith in a God that they cannot see. A young man asked me just the other week after church, he asked me, would he ever see Jesus before he died? Do you have to die to see him? And I said, well, the Bible said that when we do see him, we shall be like him. And I believe that's after we die. But you know what, son? I said, I see Jesus every day. I see him in the love of people. I see him every time a little young person come and hug me. I see Jesus. I see Jesus when the sun rises every day. I see Jesus. I see him when the seasons change. I see the Lord. I see the Lord. Amen. Never mind. Like that little boy that had that kite, and he was holding that kite by the string, and it had got beyond the clouds, and you couldn't see it, but a man said, what are you doing? He said, I'm flying my kite. He said, ain't that string wrapped around that tree? He said, no, sir, above the tree, there's my kite. He said, how do you know? Because every now and then they pull on me. I can feel it tugging on the line. And I don't have to see Jesus, but every now and then, I feel him tugging on me, letting me know that he's there, never to leave me nor forsake me. Yeah, he's there. He's there. The byword as the theme for our day and for the people. And you'll hear this constantly throughout this year, that we don't want to be judged. Amen. There's no judgment. We live in a no judgment zone world. Amen. People, that's what people want. They don't want to be judged. They want to act like they want to act, dress like they want to dress, sin like they want to sin. And when you call them to it, they say, don't judge me. Even the Bible say you're not supposed to judge me. And that's the only Bible they know. They don't believe the rest of it, but they believe that part. They say, don't judge me. But you will be judged. The judgments are universal and will happen. And the judgments will take place. For the Bible declares, it's appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. Jesus declares in John 5:22, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. You shall be judged by Jesus Christ. Every believer, every Christian must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And every non-believer, every sinner must stand before the great white throne of judgment. You'll never get away from judgment. And we have some churches that are now no judgment zone churches, but this ain't one of them. I declare, this is not one of them. You can't come in here any kind of way. If you're a man, dress up like a man. If you're a woman, dress up like a woman. Amen. This is not one of those churches where you can be a sissy and come up in here and not get the word of God preached to you. Amen. Now, sissy, if you're here, I'm glad you came. Bulldogger, if you're here, I'm glad you came. I want to get a word in you. Amen. Before you get up out of here. Same old pastor. Amen. New year. Same old Twyman. Amen. Never forget who you are and whose you are. I'm giving my life to Jesus Christ. I belong to him. Your determination to be of good cheer will not depend on how you look at things around you or even where you look or how you look, but who you're looking to. Yes, sir. You see, remember when Jesus was walking on the water and his disciples were in the boat. And Peter, it was him that said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come up on the water. And Jesus, walking on the wind with waves, said, come. That's all he said to Peter, come. And so he stepped out on faith on the word come. He began to walk on the water. Matthew 14:28-29-31 tells us the story of how Peter walked on the water for a while as he looked to Jesus. For the Bible said he walked on the water to go to Jesus, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he seen the wind whipped waves. The Bible said he was afraid and he began to sink because he looked around him, and there he saw, what am I doing? This is an impossibility. But the boys in the boat, still in the boat. Don't look back at them. Don't look around, but look at Jesus. When you were looking at Jesus, you were doing the impossible. Brothers and sisters, as long as you're looking at Jesus, you can do the impossible. You can do what other folk are not doing, but you do it by faith. But he had enough sense that when he was sinking, he cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, save me. Anybody sinking in here, you need to cry out to the Lord, save me. And the Bible said that Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Amen. But he also said, thou of little faith, where did you doubt? Now listen, if you didn't get nothing else out of this sermon so far, here are three things I want you to take with you. Look at Jesus. Sorrow and regret looks bad. Worry and fear looks around. But faith in God always looks up. Keep looking up to the Lord. No matter what you go through, no matter what trials or tribulations, no matter what sorrow, no matter how many times you got to go to the hospital or even go to the cemetery, keep looking up. Be of good cheer. Jesus has conquered the world. Yes, be of good cheer. We are conquerors. As a matter of fact, we are more than conquerors. God loves us. Listen, there's something that Paul wrote in Romans 8:35-39. This is what he said. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Did you hear that? We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. He said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I'm more than a conqueror. Jesus has conquered the world system. But I'm more than a conqueror. Let me explain. There's a story of a prize fighter who had retired as champion of the world. And he was challenged by the new champion that took his place to come out of his retirement and go 12 rounds with him. Well, all of his colleagues said that he was washed up. But he was determined to have a comeback. So he got with his trainer and got with his promoter. And he began to train. He began to jump rope and run miles and miles. And I believe that as he was training, he felt something come back. While all of his friends was saying, you're all washed up. Even his wife said, baby, you don't need to fight no more. He said, but wife, when I married you, I told you I would let you live in a lap of luxury. And now we're living in this flat, this one bedroom flat, and this ain't luxury to me. But I believe if I go back in the ring one more time, if I win the championship, I'll bring you the prize. Oh, Lord, yeah, that's what he said. While all of his friends begged him not to fight anymore, he said, but I still got something down in my heart. And so he trained and he trained. And on that day, He said, I've got one thing I'm going to ask you to do. He said, when I win this fight, I want you to give me all cash. They kind of laughed at one another and said, what this old man talking about when he wins this fight? That young man going to knock him out in the first round. He said, but when I win this fight, I don't want no check. Just bring me my purse. Bring me my prize, $1 million in cash. Well, round one went all right. He was able to move, to bob and to weave. He got in some good punches. Yeah. Round two, he got a little slower. By round three, he got hit in the face. His cut man couldn't do him no good. He was cut up. He was beat up. He knocked him down, but he got back up. Even knocked down the champ, but the champ got back up. And they fought and they fought. In 10th round, he thought he was going to throw in the towel. He said, now I've got to go just two more rounds. I've got to win this fight. And so what happened now, brothers and sisters? I want to tell you, when it came down to a decision, 12 rounds of complete boxing, it said that the old man, that ex-champion, had won the bout. Amen. He was so happy, but he was all beat up. His face was scarred. He was bloody. His eye was closed, and he couldn't see, but he had won the fight. And so they did what they said they would do. The boxing commission gave him $1 million, and he put it in a duffel bag. Well, you know what happened. He took the duffel bag home. He climbed the stairs to a one-bedroom apartment. There his wife was, sitting at the kitchen table, eyes swollen, tears rolling down her eyes. She had been praying and crying and crying and praying. But I see him in my mind's eye as he opened up the duffel bag and poured out the $1 million cash on the kitchen table. He said, baby, today I won the fight, but you're a winner more than me. Today I was a conqueror, but tonight you are more than a conqueror. Yeah. You didn't have to go one round. You didn't have to take one punch, but the pride belongs to you. And that's all I'm trying to tell you, brothers and sisters. You're more than conquerors. They didn't have to nail your hands to a cross. They didn't have to put a crown of thorns upon your head. Christ did it all for you and for me. We're more than conquerors because Christ took it all for us. They nailed his hands. Yeah. They nailed his feet. Yeah. Hung him on the cross. Beat him with a cat of 10 nine-ounce. Yes, he died. He rose again on the third day. He's a conqueror. But we're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. We got the prize. We have eternal life. We got the prize, I tell you. We're more than $1 million. We got the prize. And we didn't even have to get in the fight. We didn't even have to go and witness the boxing match. Didn't have to go to Calvary. He did it for you. He who knew no sin had my sin and your sin put up on him. And now, because of what he has done, we're more than conquerors. The Bible says he rose the third day with all power of heaven and earth in his hand. Oh, what a mighty God we serve.
What a mighty God.
Christ victorious over the world. Be of good cheer, for he has overcome the world, and you are more than overcomers. God bless you. If you're not standing, please stand to your feet. The door to the church is open.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.